join us. We just have to figure out the time difference. All right, Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Now, this is Jesus telling a parable to a very persistent woman. Very, very persistent. In fact, she's a widow, but she is persistent. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men or people ought always to pray. Everyone say always. Then Jesus adds, and to not faint. In other words, that men ought to always pray and not give up. Pray and don't give up. Saying. Then he uses this example to explain what he was saying. He says, there was in the city a judge who feared not God nor regarded man. He had no fear of God and he had no fear of men. In fact, you would say that this judge, a judge that doesn't fear God and doesn't fear men, would be a corrupt judge. Everyone say corrupt. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. He refused to listen to her. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, she keeps coming, she's bothering me, she keeps coming every day, she's driving me crazy. He said, although I have no fear of God and I have no fear of man, this woman just won't give up. She is persistent. He said, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. He says, I'm going to see that this widow woman gets justice. Why? Because she keeps coming to me with her constant requests. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Listen to what that unjust, corrupt judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them, God will hear. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith? There's a link in this scripture. There's a few links. I like it because there's a link between faith and persistent prayer. And then God is likening himself to the judge. Now you'd say, well, God isn't corrupt. Of course he's not. But the point of the whole story is that if a corrupt judge can avenge a widow woman, how much will a just God? We go further because this is full of pictures. We have a judge at the top of the pile, and we have a widow who in those times is basically nobody. No income, no husband. Her husband's died. She's got nothing. And she's out of her league. She's gone to the judge. I want to speak today the power of persistent prayer. The power of persistent prayer. Let's lift our hands and why don't we pray right now? Lord God, we come to you right now knowing and believing in the power of your word. And Lord, the power of your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, we come to you knowing the power of prayer because, oh God, our lives have been touched and you've worked, oh God, through the prayers of your saints. And so, Lord God, I pray today that faith would come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Do a mighty work in our hearts and let us leave this place ready because we've heard the word and we've applied it to our lives. We give you all the praise and all the glory, and all the church says amen. Amen. You may be seated. The power of persistent prayer. Persistent prayer. Prayer, and I said this 2 weeks ago on Sunday morning, prayer is the most intimate form of communication between God and his creation. Creation can commune with the Creator, and prayer is the way that we do it. Everybody say prayer. Prayer is the heart of man, or our heart, communicating with the heart of God. When you understand that, you're not just praying into the ears, as it were, of God, but your heart and your yearnings and your desires, your heart is communicating with the heart of God. And so prayer, just like that altar of incense we talked about in the tabernacle plan, it's the most central piece. It's the highest piece. Prayer is the center of our relationship with God. Many people make the mistake. They say we pray because we need to ask for some things. And it's true. We can take our petitions to God in prayer. But prayer, first and foremost, is the way that we build our relationship with God. And so, even in a marriage or an intimate relationship between a husband and wife, or even parents and a children, relationship is built through talking, heart to heart. That's how relationship is built. And so the same is with God. Prayer is the most intimate form of communication because it is the heart of man communicating with the heart of God. I spoke 2 weeks ago on some things that we misunderstand. People say God is sovereign. He just does what he wants. So what's the use of praying? But if you understand the word sovereign, it means he has the greatest authority and he is in control. It doesn't mean that he does what he wants to do. He is the greatest authority and he has control. So when we go to him in prayer, we are praying to the one who can change things. We also read about the immutability of God. In fact, God doesn't change. And people say, well, see, he doesn't change his mind. But God, even in the Bible, through prayer, God changed his actions and his mind, but he never changes his character. There is another thing that people misunderstand. They say, why do we need to pray if God already knows? Anyone ever heard somebody say that? Or maybe you've even thought it yourself. God knows. What is the use of praying? People say, well, Pastor, can I really tell God anything new? Because he already knows. And if God knows, and if he wanted to do something, then he would have done something about it. What's the use of praying? In the scripture, though, and in our experience, everyone say our experience, we know that God responds to prayer. We know that God responds to prayer. Moses in the book of Exodus and Numbers, it talks about Moses praying for food and for water for the Israelites, and God answered his prayer. Hannah in 1 Samuel 1 prayed for a child, and God gave her a child. Elijah, when there was drought, the Bible says he prayed and the rain came. And so there are some things that God has determined will come to pass. But God also determined that Moses, Hannah, and Elijah would pray. And those events would not have taken place. I don't believe Hannah would have had a child unless she prayed. I don't believe the children of Israel would have been fed unless Moses prayed. I don't believe that the rain would have come and broken the drought, that 7-year drought. I don't believe it would have broken unless Elijah prayed. And the Bible says he said, go again 7 times. And so there is power in prayer. In Luke chapter 1, we see Zacharias and his wife. They prayed consistently also to have a child. Even when they were past the age of childbearing, the angel brings the news that they're going to have a son. Why? Because there's power in prayer. God hears us when we pray. We read about this amazing woman named Anna in Luke chapter 2. She was a prophetess. She was 84 years of age, and she persistently prayed night and day for the redemption of Jerusalem, and God heard her prayer. There is power in prayer. Can you say that? There is power in prayer. Now, if you're smart, know your Bible, and you might be saying, well, Pastor, hang on. Okay, that all sounds good, but I can show you a scripture that tells us that God already knows what we need. I can show you a scripture. And so if there's a scripture that tells us that God already knows what we need, then why do we need to tell him again? Why would we have to come and tell him again? Look at this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. I encourage you to turn there in your Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. It says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. It's this vain repetition, just saying the same words over and over and over again, like a ritual. He said, they think that because of all of their words that they're going to be heard for their much speaking. But know ye therefore, be ye not therefore like unto them. Don't be like them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And you say, well, see, Pastor, why would we go and pray if God already knows what we need before we ask him? And you might say, well, see, Pastor, that's it. What is the use of praying if God already knows? You might even say, well, Jesus tells us, don't bother praying. God already knows. That is incorrect. That is a misunderstanding. And how do I know that? Because if you just go a little bit further, it explains it. Actually, in the next verse. So people would say, Jesus tells us that God already knows what our needs are, so what is the use of praying? So what does Jesus say? After this manner, therefore, pray. Why would he say that if there was no need to pray? God already knows what you need before you ask. And then he goes on and says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. And then we have the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so he doesn't say, God already knows what you need before you ask, so don't bother praying. Jesus says, God already knows what you need, therefore, after this manner, pray ye. You see, God has blessing. Everybody say blessing. God has provision for us. There are things that God wants to do for us, but he needs something from our side. He needs something from our side. He wants, as it were, our consent. He wants us to agree with him. He won't bless us beyond our will. You need to understand that God will not force anything on you unless you want it. Brother Slack used to say, God is a gentleman. He's not going to push his way into anyone's life unless you ask and open up and receive. And so there are blessings that are available to us in provision and healing. And God knows what we have need of, but we got to understand the power of prayer, because there are things that God says, I want to give it to you, but do I have your agreement? And so when we pray, we come to God, open. Everyone say open. Open. An open heart, an open mind. An open life, we come with open hands. We bring nothing to God because we are empty, and he is the source of everything. And prayer is an expression of saying, God, here is my open heart. Here is my open life. Here is my open mind. Here are my open hands. God, you know what I have need of. And so we can't say, if God wants to, then he can do it. No, that's not the way it works, because if we say, if God wants to, then he can do it, that means we're closed. But we must show God that we want it through prayer. And we do that by opening our heart and coming to the Lord in prayer. God knows what we need before we ask. Therefore, after this manner, pray. The power of persistent prayer. And some of us, we've been praying about some things a long time. We still haven't got an answer yet. I'm not telling you to, when God gives you an answer, just keep praying until he changes the answer. Sometimes it's yes, no, wait, and sometimes it's grow. The waiting room is difficult, but that's where you grow. And some of us have been praying about a lot of things and some things very dear to our heart. And we say, God, why aren't I seeing the answer to prayer? God, can you hear me? It feels like I'm praying the same for the same request over and over and over again. And then the devil comes and says, you know what? Just quit praying. God's already heard you. Just stop. But I want to tell somebody today, I'm not preaching to everybody today, but there are some people here that are desperate today. I'm preaching to those that are desperate, that there is power in persistent prayer. There is power when we come to God in prayer, in persistence. There is power. James chapter 4 verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. Yes, God knows. Yes, God knows. But he gave us authority. We pray because God gave us authority. He knows what we need, but he will never force us. Let me show you in Genesis 1 verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Bible says that God gave us dominion over the earth. Everyone say dominion. And so by giving us dominion over the earth, God places himself in this moral position where he must respect our will because he has given us dominion over the earth. And you, maybe you rent a house, and when you pay the rent on that house and you take out the lease, the owner of the house has given you dominion. Although he owns the house, he can't just walk in at any time and start cooking on your stovetop. The law says that you have dominion. That is your place. You have leased that place. The owner can't just walk in. And we have been given dominion over the earth. And so God has put himself in a position where he must respect our will before he acts. Psalm 117 verse 16 says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Psalm verse 8, chapter 8, verse 6 says, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And so this is why we pray, because God has given us authority. It's a delegated authority from God. And when we are living under the lordship of Jesus, yes, he knows what we need before we ask, but he will never force us. John Wesley said this, God does nothing but in answer to prayer. How many people have heard of John Wesley? Yeah? God does nothing but in answer to prayer. He understood dominion. God cannot do anything unless you invite him to move in your circumstance. And that's hope for somebody today. I want to tell somebody here today, right now, whatever circumstance that you find yourself in, whatever difficulty you find yourself in, whatever the doctor's verdict is, I want to tell you that you can come to God in prayer and that you can invite him into your circumstance. You can invite him into your life. You can ask him for healing because there is power in prayer. And I come against the devil today that would come and say, just stop praying. You've prayed that prayer over and just stop. I want to tell somebody today that be a persistent prayer. Don't give up. Keep going before the throne of God with your petitions because God hears us when we pray. The power of persistent prayer. You have not because you ask not. He gave us authority and he won't take it back. And if you want God to work in your circumstances, then you have to ask. God owns everything, including us, but he has given us authority. Think about the example that Jesus gave. God manifest in flesh. He was God in flesh. And if there was anybody who we think never needed to pray, we would say it would be Jesus, God in human form. But he would go and pray. He prayed more than anyone. He had a private time of prayer. You see, it's so simple. People get so caught up in these long words and these long prayers. They get nervous because they can't use the these and the thous. But it's so simple. Prayer is your heart communicating with the heart of God. Prayer is so simple. It's talking to God. And I want to tell somebody here today that God will hear you when you pray. James 5 verse 16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, let me say this. I don't believe that we are in a system where you get points with God. We are saved by grace through faith, the Bible says. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It's in nothing that we have done. And it's not like if you pray more hours, then you get more from God. That's not the way God operates. God doesn't work on a barter system. I'll pray 2 hours and God, you give me that. But the scripture tells us in James 5, there is something to be said about living a righteous life. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And what is righteousness? Righteousness is living according to God's standard, living according to God's word. Now, don't get me wrong. Anybody who sincerely calls on God, God hears you. And some of us, that's our testimony. I wasn't living a righteous life, but when I called on God, he heard me when I cried out to him. And when you cry out to God and you're desperate to cry out to God, God will hear you. But what God will do, he will speak to you. He will give a word to you. And then he will expect you to fulfill your responsibility in obeying him. And so we could say, I cried out to God and God heard me. He spoke to me. But when God speaks, then it's our responsibility to obey. But there is something to be said about living a righteous life. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 says, the righteous live by faith. The righteous live by faith. So if you're a righteous person, that doesn't mean perfect, no. But if you're saved and doing your best and striving to live for God, then you know something about faith, if you're a righteous person. If you know something about faith, there can only be faith if there's a relationship. You can't have faith in somebody you don't know. So if you know something about faith, then you have a relationship with God. And people who walk by faith have power with God. So there is something to be said about living a righteous life. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And so God doesn't just respond to needs, he responds to faith. You say, but I got a need. God doesn't respond to needs. He responds to faith. He responds when you cry out to him. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Let's look at the other word there in that scripture. It's the word fervent. Maybe you don't understand the word fervent. Fervent doesn't just mean loud and boisterous. Anybody ever heard? Anyone got a mother that prays loud and boisterous? My mum prays, she can pray quite loud, she can pray quiet. I remember growing up hearing her praying from the other end of the house. But it doesn't, that's not fervent prayer. That's your personality, it's how you cry out to God. But when it says fervent prayer, it's saying not just a ritual. Not just a ritual, because some of us can get trapped into a ritual. When it says fervent prayer, it's saying not a ritual, but pray from your heart. Pour out your heart to God. It's not about finding the special words or reading special prayers. A fervent prayer comes deep from in the heart of man. It's burning, it's urgent, it's direct, it's passionate. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. And so when we pray, God hears us. 1 John 5 verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. If you pray once and believe God, we can walk away knowing that God heard us. We can walk away knowing that God heard us. There are plenty of scriptures that I could show you today that God hears us and God doesn't forget. We don't need to keep reminding him like he has forgotten. But in this text that we read in Luke 18, we see the power of persistent prayer. He doesn't forget, but he also invites us through telling us his parable to come to him over and over again. When Jesus is teaching about prayer, he is telling us about the tenacity of this woman. The tenacity. I mean, this is a widow woman walking into the courthouse. Someone from the bottom of society engaging with someone from the top. The boldness, the tenacity. And not just once, but every day. She got up and said, I'm going back until I get my answer. Okay, you heard me? I'll be back tomorrow. And he was a corrupt man. And he had no fear of people. He had no fear of God. He was corrupt. How much more will your heavenly Father hear you when you pray? how much more will your heavenly Father hear you when you pray? There is power in persistent prayer. This poor, powerless woman persists. She's nagging this corrupt man who didn't fear God or man. He's a powerful person. She's nagging him and she says, I want justice. And Jesus says, this is what you got to be like when you pray. The purpose of this parable, check it out for yourself in Luke 18, is to encourage Christians to persevere in their faith against all odds. Against all odds, in the face of opposition. Maybe you feel like you're a disadvantaged person. Let me tell you, there is no such thing as a disadvantaged person in the presence of God. She has exhausted all of her means of resolution on her level. She's tried everything in her neighborhood. She's tried to do everything she can in her own power. And you know what? That's where a lot of people quit. They say, Pastor, I've done everything that I can. Well, that's good. Don't quit. Now give it to God. And she has exhausted all means on her level. She couldn't work it out with her adversary. She tried. She couldn't get a resolution on her level. She couldn't get justice on her level. And so at that point, a lot of people just walk away. They throw their hands up and say, I just can't do this. But not this woman. And you know what? Jesus makes an example of her. This woman has nothing to lose. She says, you know what? I'm down already. I'm rejected already. I've already been ostracized. I've been ignored by my adversary. And to be ignored from this judge, yes, it wouldn't make me any less than I already was. I got nothing to lose. I'm going to keep going in prayer. And I've come to encourage somebody today, pray again. Go to the Lord in prayer again. Be persistent in prayer. I know the devil comes and says, just stop. You prayed that before. But I'm going to go back to what Jesus taught me in praying. I want to be like this woman who knows about the power of persistence. She was disadvantaged. Everybody say disadvantaged. There's an advantage to being disadvantaged. You don't understand what I'm saying, do you? There's an advantage to being disadvantaged. The toughest kids in school were not the kids that had all the money and the big house. The toughest kids in school were the disadvantaged ones because they learned how to fight for everything. Those rich kids are soft. But on the football field, if you come across a disadvantaged kid, you just got to touch him. He's as hard as nails, hard as a rock. Resilience. Life has been against him. Things have been tough. He's been ostracized. He doesn't have everything, but there is an advantage to being disadvantaged. And you know, a lot of the rich people, if they were like this widow woman, would have said, let's just draw on our superannuation and fix this problem. Let's just sell one of our many properties and let's fix this problem. But she didn't have any recourse like that. She said, you know what? I know the advantage of the disadvantaged. I can't go any lower than I already am. I'm already ostracized. I've already lost everything. And she walks boldly into the presence of that judge because she knows the power of persistence. And disadvantaged people fight. They don't give up. They know the power of persistence. And that's maybe one of the problems with young people these days. They've grown up in such easy times that they're not even resilient anymore. They give up so easily. Advantaged people, when trouble comes, they panic. Oh, this never happened. Mom, put 200 in my account, please. I've run out of credit on my phone, and this is probably the worst thing that could ever happen to a person. I'm feeling persecuted. I need credit. Mom, Dad, please, I'm panicking. I need a new laptop. How am I going to do my Instagram photos and my blog and Facebook? Can you put just 1,500? Advantaged people panic, but disadvantaged people fight. And it's the same in the kingdom of God. Advantaged people, they panic. They don't know what to do, but a disadvantaged person says, I've been here before. I know the power of prayer. I'm going back into the throne room. Oh God, you can hear my prayer. I want justice. Oh God, I need your hand to work in my life. I've come to remind somebody, don't give up on praying. There is power in persistent prayer. I'm talking to the disadvantaged today. I'm talking to the down low. You can get power with God if you will pray. And we're in this season of prayer and fasting. Don't be ashamed of going to God in prayer again. The David said it like this, Psalm 119, verse 71. He said, it was good for me that I was afflicted. He said, I can see the advantage in disadvantage. It's good for me that I was afflicted, because if I had not been afflicted, I would never have known the word of God like I do. And some of you, the only thing standing between you and a closer walk with God is some affliction, a little bit of difficulty, a little bit of stress, because it will take you to the throne room of God. It will start a prayer life in your life again. You will go to God, the only source of power. Oh, we don't like that. But you know what? You ought to send a gift to those who refuse to help you. You ought to send a gift to those who ignored you. You ought to send a gift to those that ostracized you. Just like David, he said, it is a good thing that I was afflicted. You know why? Because I stopped relying on others. I had nobody to rely on. I stopped trusting other people and I started trusting in God. And I started trusting in God. There is power in persistent prayer, church. I've come to encourage somebody today. Don't give up praying. Praying for your husband or your wife. Praying for your children. Go again. I'm preaching to somebody. I'm not preaching to those who are already on the top of the world. No, I'm preaching to somebody who's downtrodden today. I'm preaching to somebody who feels like giving up. I'm telling you today, go back to your prayer closet. Keep praying. Push, push in prayer. Push, what does it mean? Pray until something happens. She had no status, no recognition, no political influence. He was corrupt, no doubt. He would have been good for a bribe. The only thing she had going for her, brother and sister, was her persistence. Was it easy? No. She's operating in a dimension that she's not used to. She was outclassed. She came from the wrong side of the tracks. She probably wasn't dressed right to be around a judge, but she kept coming. And Jesus used this example for us in teaching us about prayer. He says, if you're going to pray, don't fear bothering God. If you're going to pray, pray and then keep on praying. Jesus says, ask God in the morning and ask God in the evening. This woman didn't go once a day. She went in the morning and the evening. He says, be persistent in prayer. Pray until something happens. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, casting all of your care on him, for he cares for you. Keep praying. Even Moses, Egypt had been in slavery for 400 years. The slaves were crying out for deliverance. God, help us. They're crying out. They're praying. They hadn't worshiped God for 100 years or hundreds of years, and they were sick of being slaves. And the Bible says that Moses, who was taking care of sheep, God appears unto him in the burning bush and calls him and says, the ground you are standing on is holy ground. And then through the prayers of the Israelites who are in bondage, God speaks to Moses and sends Moses to deliver them. That's the power of prayer. But that's the other thing. They were slaves. They were in bondage. In spite of their position, in spite of their lowly position, they could still cry out to God. Let me tell you, as long as you've got a voice, as long as you can pray, there's still hope. There is still hope. 1 Kings 18, as I come to a close, verse 42, and Elijah went up to Mount Carmel and he cast himself down upon the earth and he put his face between his knees. He's praying for rain.
that the drought would break. And he's there and he's praying and he gets on the ground and he puts his face between his knees and he prays. Everyone say he prays. This is a powerful man of God, Elijah. He prays. And he says to his servant, now I've prayed, now go and see if the rain's coming. Go now, look towards the sea. And the servant went up. Let me tell you, the servant went up. After Elijah prayed, Elijah expected a miracle. There, God had used and worked through Elijah. God had answered Elijah's prayer so many times. Let me tell you, when he got on the ground, put his face between his knees and prayed for rain, he was expecting rain. He stretched himself over a child's body and the child was healed. He knew what it was like to experience the miraculous because crows and ravens brought him food. When he prayed, he expected an answer. And so he prays. He says, okay, go servant. Go and tell me how much rain's coming. The servant comes back and says, there is nothing. Whew. Can you imagine how that felt? There is nothing. So what does Elijah say? Well, I've told God that we need rain. I'll leave it at that. No, he says, go again. Go again 7 times. And the Bible says that on the 7th time, there was a cloud the size of a man's hand and the rain came. The Bible says there was nothing and he said, go again 7 times. Have you ever been there? You ever prayed your best prayer? He even used King James English. You know, all the these and the thous. And you shouted, you cried, you had tears running down your face and you groaned and Elijah had his face between his knees and he prayed his best prayer and what happened? Nothing. Did he give up? No, he said, go again 7 times. I wonder, church, today, how many breakthroughs have we surrendered right before they were given? I tell somebody, go again. Go again. Pray again. How many times answers to prayers have been given up or surrendered right before God answered? How many spiritual victories have been forfeited right on the eve of their answering because we gave up? How much has been lost because we just got weary and discouraged and we stopped being faithful? I want to tell you there's power in persistent prayer. Let's stand in this place today. Matthew chapter 7 verse 7 says this, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you keep praying, the answer will come. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait, and sometimes it's grow. Maybe someone says, well, Pastor, hang on. What about Paul and the thorn in the flesh? He asked God 3 times and then he stopped. And Paul was a great guy. Maybe we should just do that. Ask 3 times and stop. Well, he didn't stop because it was inappropriate to ask. Paul stopped because God said no. He got his answer. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 and 9. It just happened that the answer was no. He didn't stop because, you know, it was inappropriate to ask more than 3 times. I want to tell somebody today that there is power in persistent prayer. Elijah knew what it was like, but he kept praying. He had the ravens feeding him. He had the oil that never ran out. He stood on Mount Carmel and he saw fire fall from heaven. And he prayed and he expected an answer. It didn't happen. He went again. And so I want to tell somebody today, the devil's trying to tell you, oh, it might not be God's will. You haven't heard anything. But I've come to remind you today, let's pray again. Amen. Let's pray again. God is not mocked. You know, the scripture says God is, and we like to use this as a bit of a scolding for our kids. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. And that scares us. But that's a promise. That wasn't a threat from God. That was a promise. That was a promise that if you say, if you do bad stuff, it's going to catch up on you. I guess the principle applies. But that was a promise that if you keep doing the right thing, you will see an answer. You will see an answer. It will catch up. And the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, because we will reap, or we will harvest, if we faint not. Keep praying, church. Keep praying. There is power in persistent prayer. As I finish Luke 11, we read about the man. Some unexpected guests come to his house. He's trying to feed him. He says, what am I going to do? I got these unexpected guests turn up my house at midnight. How am I going to feed them? I just want 3 loaves of bread. Everyone say 3. And Jesus said, and he said unto them, which of you have a friend and shall go to, unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within the house shall answer, trouble me not. The door is shut. I've gone to bed. My children are in bed. I cannot get up and give it to you. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, because of his persistence, he will rise and give to him as much as he needs. The power of persistent prayer. Then Jesus finishes. He says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Jesus tells his story in the context. The disciples have said, teach us to pray. And Jesus taught them. He said, this is how you pray. Be persistent. Be persistent. Let's lift our hands all across this place right now. God's delays are not God's denials. I will go again. I will pray. I don't care how I feel, but I know the power of persistent prayer. Come on, let's lift our hands. Let's lift our voices right now. God is speaking to somebody. Don't give up praying. Yes, God knows before you ask, but he is going to respect the authority that he has given you. You need to invite him in. You need to do your part of the deal and let God do a work. Invite him into your circumstance. Invite him into your trouble. Invite him into your injustice right now. Don't be afraid. It doesn't matter who you are. You can boldly approach the throne of God. Come on, let's lift our hands right now. God is speaking to somebody. Come on, let's lift our voices in prayer. We love you, Jesus.